I love practical gifts. I'm one of those guys. I like fun stuff, but I like practical. And several years, I had this one thing on my Amazon wish list, and my birthday would go by, Christmas would go by, and I wouldn't get it. And I finally had a conversation with my wife, and I was like, I really want this. This is super practical. I think we need it more than you realize. And then the next Christmas, I got it. This is it. It's an air pump that plugs into your car. Like, some of you are nodding your heads. You're like, yeah, that's a good one. I like practical that is going to also help me, but also help others, right? Somewhat how I'm wired. And so I have this thing, and my parents have a winter home in Florida, and then they drive up to the Adirondacks for the summer, and they came through last weekend, and they left 90-something degree temperature and came up to the Northeast, and for some reason last week we decided it was winter again. I don't know what was going on. And what happens is the pressure in your tires gets screwed up and the temperature changed, right? So my dad's tires are all out of whack, and they were getting ready to drive from our house up to the Adirondacks, and he's like, man, I need to go pump my tires up. And I'm like, I got you covered, Dad. And he was like, what? And I was like, wow. I love practical, and I love gifts that are practical. And I believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, the Holy Spirit wants to give you practical gifts. You didn't know it, but this morning for some of you, it is spiritual Christmas. And we're in this series on the Holy Spirit called The Breath of Life. The Holy Spirit, that word spirit means breath or wind. God breathed life into his humanity. The Holy Spirit breathes new life into us in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And this is all around our third value as a church, which is we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus changes everyone. Through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, we will choose into that ongoing process, believing that every change that God initiates in you is good. That's what we believe. We believe that God, everybody comes through those doors or through that screen from a different place, and we're asking that whatever place you come and interact with us here at Living Christ Church, that you make yourself open to letting the Holy Spirit do what God wants to do in your life. And so we're on this series on the breath of life. And this morning, we're going to be talking about gifts of the Spirit from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you want to go ahead and find that, that would be great. I just want to give a little tiny bit of background about the book of Corinthians and then Corinth itself. This book was written by Paul to the church in Corinth. Corinth was the Hollywood, Las Vegas, New York City, all combined of its day. That was kind of in the Roman world. That's where, like, everybody went to, like, party and go nuts and crazy. The good, the bad, and the ugly all happened in Corinth. And so there was a lot of turmoil going on in the church because this was the environment in which they lived in, and they were trying to figure out their part and what gets left behind and how do you interact, how do you be God in the world. So very much familiar, probably for a lot of us in the world in which we're living in today, trying to figure this all out and letting God be himself in and through us in the midst of all this. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to start in verses 1 through 6 this morning. So if you have 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would open to that, listen as I read. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who speaks by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. I just want to pause right there and kind of walk through this for you this morning. About these spiritual gifts, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Really, the context, unaware. I don't want you to be unaware that God wants to do things in and through you. Jesus died on the cross, sent his Holy Spirit to you. It doesn't end there. He wants to do stuff in and through you. He wants to gift you to get this done. And this word pagan here was really, really translate Gentile. Anybody who didn't previously serve the one true God is the concept here. So when you, before you knew Jesus, you acted one way and you were caught up following foreign gods or false gods who couldn't speak, couldn't really tell you anything, and you were led astray by them, and you did whatever those environments and those structures told you to do with kind of out any support system to it whatsoever. In a relationship with God, it's not like that. He is not mute. He still speaks. He still wants to do stuff in and through you. And so that was different. This is new. He wants to do something new in and through you. So be open to it. And then it says, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And the concept here is you could literally in this culture curse somebody, and kind of as a symbol that you had accomplished this, you would make like some kind of ornate wreath thing. You'd take it to the temple and you'd hang it up. And every time you go back to the temple, the foreign temple, you'd go back and you'd see that and go, yeah, I cursed that person. Woohoo! That has no place in the kingdom of God. None whatsoever. That's not the people we are, is the concept here. Instead, anybody who speaks that Jesus Christ is Lord cannot do it with authenticity without and apart from the Holy Spirit. That's what he's calling to us to. And these spiritual gifts always, always, always glorify Jesus. If they don't, they're not from God. Sometimes in Christendom, in the church, we almost praise gifts more than the one who gave them. Let me say that again. Sometimes we focus so much on the gifts that God gives that we miss him because of however they're interacted with. These different kinds of gifts come from the same God. And then there's this kind of this breakdown here. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of workings, but the same God. There's this process through here that each one of the Trinity is represented here. The Spirit, the Lord who is Jesus, God the Father, all of them work in conformity together. They don't work separately, they work together. And there's also this concept here, there's functional, like normal, everyday in the life of the church. And then on top of that, God also will do what's necessary in order for his church to be whole and healthy. So to put it in a nutshell, God wants to give you gifts. There's gifts that will probably be imparted upon you that will last you your entire life from God. And other times God wants to impart gifts on you for a certain situation or circumstance. And they all bring glory and attention to God. If they don't, they're not about God or from God. One of my first interactions with this in kind of in a messy way, apart from God, I was working at a camp in college, and we would rent the campgrounds out to a different church group one week of the summer. It was always a little crazy and chaotic, and I always wondered what the heck was going on. It wasn't a normal camp that we put on. An outside entity would come in. And always that week, I had to do a different kind of service job. I wasn't a counselor one of those weeks. I was working in the kitchen, or I was doing pots and pans. And this summer, I was doing pots and pans. And I left a bunch of pots and pans so I could go hang out with my friends. I was going to come back later to clean them up. And I came back later to clean them up. And this group was in our cafeteria area. And there was all these people all over the floor, and people were praying over these students on the floor, and the hair on my neck went up. And I was like, what in the world is going on here? And as I began to walk over to the kitchen, I saw this one girl, and she was laying on the ground, and these older people were praying and telling her to receive these gifts from God. Stop hindering what God wants to do in your life. I want to pause right here and say, the Holy Spirit never forces himself on anybody. He does not. It's not how the Holy Spirit works. He asks you to be willingly open to what he wants to do in your life. And so, if at any moment we are trying to force God and his Spirit on anybody, we become spiritual abusers. And I was sitting and I was listening to this, and I walked by this one girl, and she locked eyes with me as if to say, get me the heck out of here. And I turned around, and I, in my naivete, and I just said, Lord, I pray for this girl. I pray that you would protect her. We have done a lot of harm in my mind in the name of God. And there's people walking around this planet who have been spiritually abused by the church because they presented themselves in such a manner that they said this is from the Holy Spirit, and it was clearly their initiative. And so, please hear me. If you've ever experienced anything like that in your life, as a pastor, as a follower of Christ, I am so sorry that happened to you. That is not what God has called us to at all. Paul continues in verse 7. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Let's talk about this for a second. So first, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And the concept here is the Holy Spirit comes in at salvation. When you ask Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit is deposited into your life. He wants to make himself known in and through you, and he wants to do that through his gifts. And he imparts those gifts on every single one of us for the common good. And that common good is for the church. That common good draws the church to be unified, to represent him well, to care for one another. That is the purpose. And that purpose always should draw our attention to Jesus. And so I just want to highlight the 9 that are listed here in this passage of Scripture. They are not limited. Please hear me. They are not limited to this 9. We also see gifts listed in Romans chapter 12, Ephesians 4, and Peter. There's a bunch of different places where the gifts of the Spirit are listed. I want to highlight these 12 for us because they're here. We're reading it. This is what it says. First, wisdom. Then knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. This first one here, wisdom, it's messages of wisdom. And the concept really here is discernment. Discernment in regards to Scripture and life. God is empowering this person who has this gift with discernment to make decisions according to the Word of God. Apart from themselves. This message of knowledge here, the concept is things that you should not know. God wants to impart stuff in and through you, things that you should not earthly know. Faith, I don't know if you've ever met these kind of people, that because their relationship with God, their faith is unwavering. They just seem steady and true. Normally, that is a miraculous gift of faith. We don't naturally have this. Healing, just 2 weeks ago, we had a healing here at the church. A girl, a lady had her back was all messed up. We prayed over her. God healed her. We believe that. God still heals. Miraculous powers. This is kind of like a free for, like a anything else that you could think of, God wants to do in order to help his church and to make himself known. And sometimes he chooses the miraculous to get that done. Prophecy, this is kind of an all play of speaking boldly through truth that both convicts and encourages, and it's also foretelling of the future. So God enables this person to have insight, clarity, not be afraid to say things that need to be said, et cetera, et cetera. Discernment of spirit, prophecy, all right, so prophecy, discernment of spirits. The concept here is understanding the difference between God's spirit and the spirit of the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. This person has a spiritual understanding that the enemy of our soul is doing stuff that we cannot see with our earthly eyes, and they're able to help the church take their authority against the enemy of our soul. Speaking of in tongues, this is the one that, for whatever reason, everybody wants to focus on and talk about. I believe through the entirety of Scripture, this manifests in really two main ways. One is, I'll give you, for example, early on in the development of our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance, we were sending out international workers around the world. This was before the internet, before there was any kind of communication. We picked a spot in Africa. We sent some people there. They landed on the shores. We didn't know if they were going to be killed or heard. And they began to speak, and the people that were there heard them in their own tribal language. They had no knowledge of that language before they landed. They landed, they shared the gospel, people came to Jesus. Conversely, then we thought that every time we did that, God was just going to show up, and that's not how that works. And then there's this, and then the other kind of main ways this works is intercession for the church. When we don't know what to pray, God speaks on our behalf with words that cannot be understood. And I want to share a personal experience with this. I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. He talked about these things, but we didn't really talk about this one. And so this one always seemed kind of weird to me and didn't make a whole lot of sense. We didn't use it in practical ways in the church. And at one of the church experiences where I was on staff, we were having a lot of infighting as a staff, and I was just a young guy in ministry, and I was like, man, this is nuts. I don't want to be a part of this. But God called me to tell the rest of the staff, hey, listen, we got to stop doing this. We got to stop biting each other. We need to yield to God. Can we just take a break and go pray? And they're like, oh, all right, we'll go pray. And I was like, okay. And I went to pray, and I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what the church is supposed to be. And I put on some worship music. It's one of the ways I connect with God well. And I started listening to the worship music, and I just started praying. And next thing I know, the words coming out of my mouth were in English. And I was like, what is going on? And I called my dad. I was like, Dad, you got to know about this stuff. And he was like, what do you want me to tell you? And I was like, what is this? And he goes, what were you doing? And I said, I was praying for the staff of the church. I was calling out to God. And then all of a sudden, these words start coming out of my mouth, not in English. What am I supposed to do with it? Is this from God? And he goes, what were you doing? And I said, I was praying for the church. I was praying for the staff. But then these words started coming out of my mouth. They weren't of English. What am I supposed to do with it? And he goes, Jeff, what were you doing? Why do you think it wouldn't be of God if you were praying for unity? me in my human self had no idea how to pray or intercede for the staff or the church. But the Spirit of God who imparts himself in me and in you knows what we need. And then I put in the box up here. There's a couple in other passages of scripture that I mentioned. Service, teaching, encouragement, mercy, giving. God wants to do all these things to encourage, empower the church to take care of the church. And those are just as important as the ones that seem miraculous. I was at a conference a couple years ago, and we had these breakout sessions when we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit of God, and I was sitting with a group, and we were supposed to pray for one another. And this girl that I didn't know, I looked at her, and she reminded me of somebody I knew who had the gift of encouragement. And I said, hey, listen, I know we don't know each other, but would you say you have the gift of encouragement? And she began to cry. And my friend that she reminded me of who had the gift of encouragement would oftentimes get scripture verses for people that would encourage them. And I said, did your gift of encouragement come with like scripture where like all of a sudden a scripture verse will pop in your head that you know is going to help that person, but you don't know where it came from? And she began to cry even more. And I said, why are you crying? And she goes, I believe God gave me that gift, but I shared a verse with someone one time, and they were like, why are you sharing this with me? Leave me alone. And so I stopped. So I just encouraged her. And I said, God gave you the gift of encouragement. Who doesn't want encouragement? The enemy of our soul doesn't want us to encourage one another. That's not from God. God wants you to encourage one another. And it was so super cool because then immediately she goes, hey, a verse just popped in my head. And she goes, can I share it with you? And I said, sure. And she said, Psalm 46:10, I think it, be still and know that I'm God, which is a verse that's followed me all of my life. God asked me to encourage an encourager who then encouraged me back. That's how the Spirit of God works. To empower and encourage the body of Christ to see him in the midst of a crazy, disorderly world. And the cool part is he gets to distribute these how he determines, or according to his will. Oh, so good. All right. Keep going. Verse 12. I want to read verse 12 down to verse 17, and then I'm going to jump down to 25 to 31. There's a lot here, but a lot of it kind of repeats to make sure the church in Corinth understood what Paul was talking about. So in verse 12, it says this. Just as the body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized into one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given this one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is made up of one part, not of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would that sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would our sense of smell be? Then jump down to verse 25 where it says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, then teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then helps of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. And then the question of verse 29, starting in verse 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Many parts, one body, baptized in the same Spirit to form one body. I love that it's, if I were a foot and I said, I'm not a hand, I'm going to stop being a foot. You can't stop being a foot. In the church today, we go to one church location, then we switch to another one because we don't like this one. All the while, God wants the parts to work together. And sometimes we become selfish and take our part to another church that doesn't need us. God wants to use all the parts to be his church wherever his church is. He wants all of his Spirit to be represented, not part of it, not half of it, all of it. And then we see there's a almost like a suggested order here, starting with apostles and prophets and teachers. And this goes back to the verses that we read at the beginning where there was both function and these seemingly situations where God manifests his Spirit for a particular need. So we have both function and help in the church, and then there's times where we need something extra for the Holy Spirit to do in order to help the body to bring wholeness, either in the life of a person or corporately, is going on here. But all of it, is to draw our attention back to God, not away from it, for unity and to draw our attention to the Father. It's got to work all together. It can't be separated. There should be never a division based on this. Well, you know, I have this gift, and so I'm more important than you. That has no place in the kingdom of God, none whatsoever. The miracles are just as important as encouragement and service. They all point and direct the attention back to the God of the universe. That's his desire. A couple weeks ago, I was finishing up the sermon up here on the stage, and I was giving the response. I was encouraging the response time. And I looked out, and I saw somebody in the congregation, and God, I believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, started speaking to me on their behalf. And I'm reading the response, and I'm asking people to respond, and the only thing I could think of is, I have to talk to this family. So as soon as the service was over, we closed out, I ran to the back. And God kept on saying, there's something big they have to decide. There's something big they have to decide. There's something big they have to decide. That's what I was hearing. And I grabbed them outside and I said, hey, I feel like there's something big coming for you guys. God wants to encourage you. And they both began to cry. We followed up later that week, and I did not know this at all. But for several weeks, they had this huge decision that they had to make as a family. And they were thinking about calling me, but they didn't want to bother me. And please understand, it could have been anybody else. It doesn't have to be the pastor. But God told them to get a hold of me, and they were scared. So God told me to get a hold of them because he cares. And I said, hey, I just want to encourage you guys, like, whatever that big thing is that's coming up, God cares about you, he loves you, it's going to be okay. They went home, they made a decision, whatever they needed to do, and immediately they got a response that it was the right decision because God cares. God wants to work all things together for his good and for yours. That's how his spirit works, for unity and drawing attention back to himself because he loves you and cares about you, and this cycle goes on in our lives. And so I want to land with kind of 3 points here this morning. The first is, if you have not asked Jesus in your life, are you willing to, so he can empower you with his Holy Spirit to draw your attention back to him and others? Start there. We have a lot of people that interact with us who don't necessarily know Jesus yet, and that's okay. We want to foster an environment where it's okay to interact and experience faith in a safe place. So if God is bringing you to the place where you want to say, yeah, I believe that Jesus was who he said he was, will you accept him? Then 2, last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and how he wants to manifest all that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Get rid of all the stuff that draws our attention away from him to self or to hurt others. So the good part of it, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you with gifts. So are you willing to say, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to allow you to reveal yourself in me through your gifts? Are you willing to say that simple prayer? It doesn't have to be the most eloquent thing in the world. It can simply say, Holy Spirit, I'm willing for whatever gift you want to impart on me. Or maybe, like that girl that I told you about who had the gift of encouragement, but it had been stifled. You know that God has given you some kind of gift that you haven't been using in a while. Are you willing this morning to say, Holy Spirit, please confirm your gifts in me? Are you willing to do that? So whether you're at home or in person, I want us to sit in this moment for a second. After the service, we'll have a couple prayer people up here. If you would like to come up and receive prayer confirmation for them to pray in and through you the gifts that you know God has imparted, or to say that second prayer together corporately with somebody to listen, help you listen, to say, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. We will make that available for you. But right now, let's just take a moment and kind of sit in this. Let these questions roll around in your brain for a moment. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit so that we would not feel like orphans, that you are present with us right now in this moment. So Holy Spirit, as we're open and willing, I ask that you would impart your gifts upon your people. So that today becomes somebody's spiritual Christmas. Father, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.